The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties with its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, Power Shift. Triangle home prices remain steady, but buyers are calling the shots. And the story begins inside the Triangle Business Journal. Actually, two stories. The first one, the first headline, listings up, prices steady, advantage shifts to buyers in Triangle's hottest housing markets. And this is written by David Pertell and Joanne Drilling. New listings and inventory are on the rise across the Triangle's housing market as sellers try to lure the relatively small batch of buyers in a market where mortgage rates remain above 6% and prices have cooled. Meanwhile, builders have been able to play catch-up in terms of the supply of new homes. Among the Greater Triangle's 50 hottest housing markets for the third quarter, 38 saw the number of new listings increase from the same quarter in 2024. The largest percentage increase was in the New Hill area of Wake County, an area that has attracted higher-end home builders, where new listings jumped more than 100% from 17 to 35. In terms of raw numbers, Apex zip code 27502 saw the biggest jump, going from 195 to 283, an increase of 88. The data comes from the Business Journal's latest quarterly analysis of the country's hottest housing markets based on listing and sales data from Intercontinental Exchange Incorporated. The ranking is intended to emphasize sales and pricing momentum in each zip code using a weighted formula that includes quarterly and year-over-year data. The rankings spotlight zip codes where activity is surging, prices are dramatically rising, or homes are selling at a faster pace. Across the Triangle's core counties of Wake, Durham, and Orange, new listings, single-family, townhouses, and condominiums, totaled over 2,500 in September, up 13% from the same month in 2024, according to Dorify MLS. The median sales price was flat at $465,000, with closed sales up 10% to almost $1,800. Also, active inventory soared more than 36% year-over-year to above 4,000. The rising inventory has helped buyers gain leverage in terms of pricing. In about half of the Triangle's top 25 hottest markets, based on the Intercontinental Exchange data, the sales price was lower than the list price in Q3. The hottest housing market in the third quarter highlights a growing trend in the Triangle's urban cores, luxury condos. The Durham zip code 27701, which covers the downtown area, raced to the top spot due in large part to the opening of the Novus Tower, a 27-story building with condo units priced in the multi-millions. The building opened over the summer, meaning many of the pending sales for condo units, which hit the market years ago, closed in recent months. That drove the average sale price for the zip code in the third quarter to almost $900,000, compared to an average price for new listings of about $600,000. The zip code ranked 96 nationally among the hottest markets. ACBJ's national ranking was an average sale price threshold of $425,000. The highest ranked zip code in Wake County for Q3 was 27609, covering North Hills, where listings and sales were up only slightly from 2024, but the average sale price of $864,200 was more than 10% higher than the listing price, showing the area remains in high demand among wealthy buyers. A clear example of how the rankings capture momentum in a given quarter is the fact that the top-ranked Triangle zip code from Q2, 27605 in Raleigh, is at the bottom of the local rankings for Q3. Why? Because the average sale price fell dramatically from quarter to quarter. Q2 saw a batch of high-end single-family homes sold, which drove up the average sales price. America's hottest housing markets. Home sales have slowed in many parts of the country, most noticeably in COVID-era hotspots that doubled down on new construction. In some cases, frustrated sellers are even deciding to delist their homes rather than face steep price cuts. But there are still plenty of hot housing markets, both locally and across the nation. Despite a multitude of challenges and a shifting market, the national average for days on the market was essentially flat, inching up from 84 in the second quarter to 85 in the third quarter. Among the top 10 hottest markets nationally, the average sale price was $1.3 million, well above the national third quarter average of $515,977, according to the Business Journal's data. Market downshifts to much slower gear. Analysis from Cotality's Case-Shiller Home Price Index, released on September 30, showed some notable changes in the housing market. July's results reinforced that the housing market has downshifted to a much slower gear, said Nicholas Godek, head of fixed income tradables and commodities at S&P Dow Jones Indices, in a statement. National home prices rose just 1.7% year over year, down from June's 1.9% pace and a far cry from the double-digit gains of 2 years ago, he said. Godek said it was one of the weakest annual price increases of the past decade and notably below the 2.7% rise in consumer prices over the same period. In other words, U.S. home values have essentially stagnated after inflation, Godek said. And the second article in this cover story is written by Kate Tracy. The headline, What Buyers Want, Custom Homes in the Triangle feature the latest interior design trends. Hide the mess, but make it pretty. That's the trend Elisa Sparks is seeing in the high-end custom homes she helps design, especially in the Triangle. Scullery kitchens continue to be popular. They tend to be enclosed by four walls and a door where people can store kitchen appliances, prepare food, and be messy somewhere that's not in the main kitchen. Through franchise agreements, Sparks has grown her interior design firm, Linden Creek, to around 20 locations across the Southeast and Northeast. While not necessarily new, she said Southern Hospitality has made scullery kitchens unique to this region. Sculleries are not a thing anywhere outside of the Carolinas. We say the word to our other partners and they look at us like we're crazy, Sparks said. Local architect Ariel Schechter has always suggested and designed kitchen spaces with a scullery. To her and her clients, it's a way to keep all the clutter off the main kitchen counter. All my clients get that, she said regarding scullery kitchens. Newer this year, however, is the fact that these scullery kitchens are becoming statement pieces with their own tile, wallpaper, or other features that make them special. Designers are finding it is an opportunity to really showcase something bold and dramatic and make a statement in the home without feeling the commitment of the rest of the house needing to coordinate with that, Sparks said. Designers are constantly working to make homes more functional to day-to-day living in the year 2025. For example, while entertaining is still a priority for many homeowners, entertaining in a formal dining room is not. To that end, Sparks has done projects this year to convert formal dining rooms, which typically only get used around the holidays, into home offices now that more people work from home. At least it would get better use if we closed it off with doors and made it a home office than as a formal dining room, Sparks said. Functional living. Another trend that designers are noticing is that primary closets and bathrooms are becoming larger than the bedroom space itself. More clients are foregoing the jumble of dressers and chairs in a primary bedroom in favor of having bigger closets and bigger bathrooms that feel more like a spa and function to their everyday needs. Gone are the tight little bathrooms of yesteryear, Schechter said. Closets are getting built-in wardrobes, elaborate lighting, and display areas for jewelry, watches, and purses. Donna Gates Davis at Design Work Studio has done some closets with built-in steamer units for steaming apparel. There really is this true trend that's happening of, let's live in our space and use our space and design our space in a way that actually represents where and how we live, Sparks said. Davis said Raleigh Design used to have a particular look and formula that's changed over the years as people from different cultures and places have moved here. It's not uncommon for her to design a Hindu prayer room in a luxury home now, she said, especially homes closer to Research Triangle Park. There are just a lot of different nationalities building in these high-end markets, she said. Outdoor priorities. 5 years ago, in-home movie theaters were trendy. Now, saunas have become a hot-ticket item and the biggest new luxury item that Design Work Studio clients are requesting. Sometimes they're located inside the main house and the primary bath. Other times they're detached from the main house. Whether it's a sauna, pool house, or a cabana, homeowners are stepping up their outdoor living. Jenny Mahorney and Jason Bird, owners of the local remodeling firm behind-the-scenes design have been getting requests for saunas as well as outdoor showers. We do have the most requests for that this year than ever, and I say that a majority of them are locations without a pool, Mahorny said. An outdoor shower is a simple, inexpensive project that brings a homeowner who's especially active or It's an inexpensive project that brings a homeowner who's especially active or into messy hobbies like gardening or fishing an added layer of fun and convenience, Mahorny said. Schechter, who's also been designing more outdoor showers, always places them directly outside the primary bathroom for easy access. Other outdoor design trends include adding outbuildings that function as art studios, offices, or guest rooms. They're also bringing the outdoors inside through natural materials like wood or stone. A more expensive feature that's getting popular in the area is an outdoor terrace where homeowners can enjoy city views or forest views from a higher vantage point, Schechter said. They want to know what it's like to be up in the trees, Schechter said, adding that the cost can be as much as $300 per square foot. Schechter has also noticed a tendency in her clients to prioritize energy efficiency in their high-end luxury homes. They're looking for better insulated, better built, and net zero ready, if not completely net zero in their homes, she said. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Midtown Corner lures new options. A host of fast food restaurants plant their flags in busy Raleigh spot. A number of fast food places with modest roots and major ambitions are moving into a busy intersection in Midtown Raleigh. At the site of a former car wash is Guthrie's, a chicken fingers restaurant that began in 1965 in Haleyville, Alabama. The company now has 70 locations in 13 states and is looking to expand across the Carolinas after opening two stores in South Carolina. Right across the street is the new Whataburger, which is rising on a spot where an Applebee's was flattened. And around the corner on Six Forks Road, a new Andy's Frozen Custard is open on what was once a Burger King site, followed by other failed concepts. The former building has been demolished in favor of a splashy new look. Andy's Custard dates to 1986 in Missouri and now has more than 170 locations across the country. That's three separate brands with modest roots and big ambitions. And it also highlights the intense interest in a corridor that's right between the sprawling complex of North Hills and the rising power of Midtown, with Midtown East and 1000 Social nearby. But that part of town has seen this before. Back in the 1960s, a new fast food restaurant out of Rocky Mount put a funky-looking building on Wake Forest Road with a steeple in the middle and a curved roof. Hardee's sold its charbroiled hamburgers for 15 cents, a popular offering at the time. The Hardee's is long gone. A car wash is there now. No stars for Triangle restaurants. After much anticipation, the announcement of the Michelin Guide winners for its inaugural American South Guide was a downer for the region. No Triangle restaurant earned a coveted star. Although three restaurants in the Triangle received Bib Gourmand honors, a designation for restaurants with food quality, with quality food and moderate prices, those were Mala Pata in Raleigh, Prime Barbecue in Knightdale, and Sam Jones Barbecue in Raleigh. Counter in Charlotte was the only restaurant in the state to earn a star. Warby Parker snags space at Village District. A space at the Village District in Raleigh has a new owner after CT Weekends, a women's clothing store, closed last fall. Warby Parker now occupies the 1,935-square-foot space. It's the second spot for Warby Parker in the major Raleigh shopping area, as it also has a place in North Hills. Regency Centers of Florida owns the Village District. Warby Parker has two other Triangle locations at Carey's Fenton and at the Streets of South Point in Durham. In North Raleigh, restaurant closes after 15-year run. A North Raleigh restaurant that had a hard time recovering after COVID has closed. Stacy and Kevin Jennings of Urban Food Group have closed Chow Pizza Bar, located at 8311 Creedmoor Road in a Harris Teeter-anchored retail plaza, after 15 years. The restaurant and sports bar served wings, pizza, burgers, and more. Kevin Jennings said there were many reasons behind the decision to close, including a loss of revenue in the last year. We were very busy pre-COVID. After COVID, we slowed down, he said. And finally, co-working brand adds to its locations. Co-working isn't dead at all, and now the nation's largest co-working operator is adding to its lineup in the Triangle. Regis, owned by International Workplace Group of Luxembourg, is opening two new locations in the region, one in Raleigh and one in Carrboro. The locations bring the company's total to 24 in the Triangle. The Raleigh location will be in DeWitt, Carolina's One Renaissance Center off Wake Forest Road, just outside the Beltline. The Carrboro location is in 13,950 square feet on the second floor of an office building at 517 South Greensboro Street, north of Highway 54, near the Southern State Shopping Center. While other national co-working brands like WeWork and Spaces have a strong presence in the Triangle, smaller companies have popped up as well around the region. Now, co-working space in the Triangle totals around 2.2 million square feet across more than 100 locations. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the top news stories. The first one written by Lauren Onisorge. Malik seeks larger stadium, eyes downtown, soccer owner wants a new venue and bid for higher level league. Steve Malik wants to elevate his men's and women's professional soccer clubs that play at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary, but to do it, he needs a bigger stadium. Malik, owner of the North Carolina Football Club men's team and the Carolina Courage women's pro club, has submitted an application seeking to have North Carolina FC join the United Soccer League's new Division I league, set to launch in 2028. The club now plays in the USL Championship, a second-tier professional league below Major League Soccer. The new Division I league is meant to compete with MLS, which includes Charlotte FC. But there's a catch. The new Division I league requires clubs to have a stadium with a minimum capacity of 15,000 seats. Wake Med Soccer Park's official capacity is 10,000. Malik has long been a proponent of building a new stadium in Raleigh. Malik sees the USL move not just as a play for the men's team, but as a bet on the momentum established by the Courage. The Courage, who play in the National Women's Soccer League, capped their regular season with more than 11,100 fans at Wake Med Soccer Park, a club record. The team's home attendance this season reached nearly 108,000. The men's club averages under 3,000 fans for home games, one of the lowest levels in the USL Championship. Malik said he's not willing to continue lower division soccer with the men's club. On the stadium front, he said his team has had engagement with public officials in the Triangle. We're one of the only major metros in the country without a downtown stadium, he said. We continue to pursue that. We're not going to continue in lower division soccer. In the meantime, Malik said the focus will shift to the Courage. And next we have another story by Lauren Onisorge. Bad luck sunk Coastal Marina into bankruptcy. COVID, other factors play into rough times for Dowry Creek Marina. Dowry Creek Marina was supposed to be Stephen Zeltner's retirement hurrah, a peaceful waterfront venture in Belhaven on North Carolina's Inner Banks. Instead, it became a case study in how unpredictable forces, natural disasters, economic headwinds, and a last-minute deal collapsing can sink even the most carefully laid plans. Dowry Creek Marina filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in October. The business, which includes the Salty Crab restaurant, listed nearly $2.4 million in assets and nearly $2.3 million in debts. In a recent court hearing in U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina, the marina's owners detailed what went wrong with the business. Zeltner, a retired veteran of the Army Corps of Engineers who purchased the marina with his late wife, Connie, told the court on October 22 that the trouble started early. Soon after his family took over the business in 2018, Hurricane Florence tore through the pier, causing $700,000 in damages. Business was erratic. Marinas rely heavily on boat traffic, so Zeltner sought ways to diversify, but running a marina far from downtown Belhaven came with its own challenges. The Zeltners decided to open a restaurant that could attract locals and serve boaters, but just 3 weeks into construction, COVID-19 hit, which was not good timing, Zeltner told the court. Contracts were signed and it was too late to back out, he said in court. The original estimate for the restaurant was $1.1 million. The final cost was closer to $1.7 million, even with used equipment. By July 2020, we were really in trouble, he says. Today, the restaurant is complete. Revenue is coming in, but it's not enough. A would-be buyer struck a deal in May. The agreed-upon price was nearly $3.3 million until just days before closing, when the buyer dropped the offer by nearly $1.3 million, forcing the bankruptcy. Small-town commercial property nets $1.5 million sale. This is written by Ben Tobin. Real estate is so hot in the Triangle area that a small commercial property in a town of under 3,000 residents just sold for well over $1 million. Cali, or C-A-L-I Retail, LLC, purchased 1.78 acres containing a gas station and attached eatery in the town of Four Oaks for $1.5 million last month, according to Johnston County deed records. The property is at 4056 U.S. Highway 301 South. North Carolina Secretary of State filings show CALI Retail lists Andrew Carroll, a Smithfield resident and regional territory manager for North Carolina of Maharin Fertilizer Incorporated, based out of Four Oaks, as a member. Maharin Fertilizer operates out of a building across the street from the purchased property. Though Johnston County is exploding with growth, it is one of the fastest growing counties in the state with close to 250,000 residents. That growth hasn't really taken off in the southern part of the county where Four Oaks is located. The town has a population of roughly 2,700, according to the most recent estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. Duke looks to save cash as federal cuts mount. This article is written by Zach Ezone. Duke University aims to save $350 million over the next 5 years as it responds to mounting financial pressures and policy uncertainty at the federal level. University administrators detailed the university's financial status during a meeting of the university's academic council in late September. About 600 people accepted the university's voluntary separation offers initiated earlier this year, resulting in about $100 million in savings from salaries and benefits. Additionally, Duke saved another $27 million through faculty retirement programs. Duke also laid off about 45 employees, mostly within the School of Medicine. Vice President for Finance Rachel Satterfield said, according to the minutes from the September meeting. The university has developed a five-year strategic plan to achieve $350 million in annual savings, with most savings occurring in fiscal year 2026. The cost cutting is in response to various pressures affecting Duke's finances, most of which are coming from the federal government. There is uncertainty around research funding, with the federal government proposing earlier this year a 15% cap on facilities and administrative rates on research grants. Duke estimates that if this cap goes into effect, it would lose about $230 million in revenue each year. Currently, Duke has a tax rate of 1.45%, but officials say it could increase to 4%. This could lead to an increase in taxes of $20 million to $40 million. As an academic institution with a health system, Duke is also affected by reductions in Medicaid funding. Duke estimates its health system could lose $1 billion over 5 years from Medicaid cuts, which could also put pressure on funding the health system provides to the School of Medicine. And our final top news item is written by Kaylee Thompson. Durham firm files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Nova RTP project stalls as multiple creditors claim they are owed millions of dollars. Millions of dollars are tied up in lawsuits and bankruptcy filings after a Durham real estate company failed to pay several creditors. Nova RTP 2 LLC, managed by Abranova Real Estate, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Owned by Abraham P. Ningwani, the company lists $13.1 million in assets and more than $6.3 million in debts. Abranova Real Estate was developing a build-to-rent community called Nova RTP in Durham along Highway 55, just north of East Cornwallis Road near Research Triangle Park. It secured a $7.95 million 18-month construction loan in January 2024 for the project from Urban Standard Capital, a private equity firm in New York. However, the apartment and townhome project has not been completed, although much of it was built out. A press release from Urban Standard Capital in January 2024 stated that site work was complete, framing had started, and that a certificate of occupancy would be acquired by first quarter 2025. In the bankruptcy filing, Urban Standard is one of the creditors. The company is owed $5.1 million, according to the filing. Urban Standard Capital did not respond to a request for comment. Ningwani and his attorney, Benjamin Eisner, with the law offices of George Oliver, did not return multiple requests for comment. The filing says Nova RTP 2 LLC has no cash or cash equivalents. A 2019 article described Nova RTP as having 9,000 square feet of co-working space, 37 apartments, 46 smart townhomes, office space, as well as conference rooms, a shared events kitchen, a high-end gym and yoga room, a pool, and walking trails. Durham companies listed as creditors in the bankruptcy filing are Alliance Architecture, Abranova Building Company, and Abranova Electric LLC. Alliance Architecture is owed $25,000. The firm declined to comment for this story. According to North Carolina Secretary of State records, Abranova Building Company and Abranova Electric are both owned by Inguani. In the bankruptcy filing, they are listed as being owed a total of just over $1 million. Abranova Real Estate has another Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing ongoing under Nova at Summer Meadow Owner LLC. It filed on October 7 with Joseph Frost of Buck Miller and Frost Law Firm as attorney representing Inguani. Frost did not return a request for comment. Inguani's bankruptcy filing for Nova at Summer Meadow Owner LLC doesn't list exact numbers for assets and debts. Its estimated assets are between $10 million and $50 million, and its estimated debts are between $10 million and $50 million. There are several creditors listed who have unsecured claims, the largest amounts belonging to Urban Standard Capital with $2 million, Talbert Building Supply of Durham with $530,000, and Japanese firm Pacific Metals PTE with $93,000. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the reporter pages. We start with Lauren Onasorge's page, Technology and Finance. Rapid Scale expands, hires in Raleigh, tech company adds people and space in Block 83 development. A technology company headquartered in downtown Raleigh is expanding. Rapid Scale is growing into a second building and hiring up to 100 in Raleigh as part of a larger growth plan. The company, which provides managed cloud services that aim to help businesses optimize their tech infrastructure, is filling the entire eighth floor. That's about 27,000 square feet of space at Tower 2 in the Block 83 development on Hillsborough Street in Glenwood South. Rapid Scale has 600 employees with about 160 in Raleigh at its 301 Hillsborough headquarters downtown. The plan is to hire between 200 and 300 people across its operation in the next 2 to 3 years. CEO Dwayne Barnes said he hopes 80 to 100 of them will be in Raleigh. Barnes said demand driven by the rise of artificial intelligence has the company outgrowing its current space. A typical company that's not a technology company is trying to find ways to leverage AI. They just need help, he said. Consolidation in the sector is also driving demand. For example, Broadcom's recent acquisition of VMware meant cutting nearly all of its partners, but not Rapid Scale, which is seeing increased demand from still being a premier partner of Broadcom. So Rapid Scale has been staffing up with open positions such as senior program manager, senior cybersecurity engineer, and lead healthcare solutions architect. As a result, the firm has been busting at the seams at its 301 Hillsborough space. Barnes estimates it's about 30% over capacity at its headquarters, hence the search for more space within walking distance. The team looked at multiple downtown locations, including 421 North Harrington Street in Kane Realty's Smoky Hollow development. A permit application was even filed with the city for that space as the company worked with a designer to envision what an expansion there might look like. But ultimately, Block 83 won out. The plan is to move in on December 1st. TD Bank quiet about Raleigh plans. More than 2 years after TD Bank opted to take over the site of the former Courtney's restaurant in Raleigh, the planned branch is not open. The bank has yet to file regulatory plans for the branch, located at the corner of Wake Forest Road and Six Forks Road. The bank filed plans with the city of Raleigh in June 2023 for a 2,500 square foot branch at the location. Construction on the exterior of the building appears to be complete, but no sign is up yet. A bank spokesman said TD remains committed to serving customers in the Raleigh market area and will share more details about this location in the future. TD Bank, a subsidiary of the Toronto Dominion Bank, is headquartered in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. It recently announced plans to close 51 branches across the U.S., including one in Hendersonville. North Carolina firm plans rare earth facility with federal aid. A North Carolina company has struck a deal to build a rare earth magnet facility on U.S. soil, backed by more than $1 billion in public and private investment. Vulcan Elements, which produces high-performance magnets in Durham, and Re-Element Technologies will develop a facility capable of producing 10,000 tons of rare earth magnets annually. The Department of War, which is providing a $620 million direct loan, the U.S. Department of Commerce, $50 million in incentives, and $550 million in private capital, according to a news release. And finally, report details shutdown costs on North Carolina businesses. The federal shutdown is putting millions of dollars at risk for North Carolina businesses. A new report from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce estimates that nearly $36.2 million in payments to North Carolina businesses are at risk each week the shutdown continues. It also says that $156.8 million in monthly payments are going uncollected by small businesses in the state. Gary Salamito, president of the North Carolina Chamber of Commerce, said the shutdown also has clear consequences for manufacturers and their supply chains. And now we turn to real estate and development, written by Kaylee Thompson. The first article, demolition paves way for apartments near NC State. A Denver developer spent a whopping $10 million for a one-acre property near NC State University campus. Cardinal Group acquired five parcels along Hillsborough Street near the Stanhope Building for its new student housing project. The company bought the lots from Raleigh real estate firm CityPlat, which had been assembling the parcel since 2018, according to Wake County deed records. CityPlat paid a total of $6.45 million for the lots, which it originally eyed for a hotel project. The project will be at 6, 8, and 10 Bagwell Avenue and 2808 and 2812 Hillsborough Street. The site has an auto shop, a retail space with a Checkers pizza, a juice bar, and a convenience store, and three single-family homes, all of which will be demolished. The 1.05-acre property is assessed at $6.3 million. As of November 2nd, the land had already been demolished, leaving a major gap in the center of Hillsborough Street. In a news release, Cardinal Group said the company is partnering with real estate investment manager PGIM on the student housing project. Construction started this month, and the project should be complete in summer 2027. The development will have 147 units with 291 beds total and 1,818 square feet of ground floor retail space fronting Hillsborough Street. There will be two buildings, a three-story building with apartments and another that will be five stories with apartments, amenities, and the retail space. Of the 147 units, 10 will be two-story townhomes. Amenities provided include a courtyard with a swimming pool, fitness center with yoga room, study lounges, bike storage, pet wash, and rooftop terrace. A parking deck will be provided on the first level with 16 parking spaces. Cardinal Group did not provide further information when reached for comment. Plans for the property have been through a couple of iterations. First, the hotel and then a 138-unit apartment building by CA Ventures. As enrollment climbs at NC State, it's fueling a host of student housing projects, including the massive Hub on Campus project underway along Hillsborough Street. And the last article in this section, on this reporter's page, parking lot in downtown Raleigh sells for $7 million. Philadelphia firm snags corner lot from Highwoods that is zoned for up to 40 stories. In the latest sign that downtown Raleigh remains attractive to investors, a surface parking lot has sold for more than $7 million. Raleigh Real Estate Investment Trust Highwoods Properties sold a 0.68-acre lot at the corner of East Martin and South Wilmington Streets, adjacent to Sky House Raleigh, after listing it in April. Parkway Corporation of Philadelphia paid $7.15 million for the property, according to Wake County deed records. The site is zoned for up to 40 stories of development. Parkway is a real estate company that focuses on acquiring and operating parking facilities and developing commercial real estate. Rob Zuritsky, president and CEO of Parkway, said the company has been looking to invest in Raleigh for a couple of years, and this parking lot caught their eye. The company had reached out to Highwoods a few times regarding the lot before it officially hit the market. So when Highwoods put it up for sale, along with another parking lot in Orlando, Florida, Parkway put in an offer. Zuritsky said he thinks the reason Highwoods chose Parkway was because it wanted to buy both properties, whereas most of the other offers were for just one of the parking lots. The company will maintain the parking lot, collecting the income until it's ready to develop a project on the site, a strategy that it uses in all of its markets. Zariski cited the residential growth and convention center expansion for why Parkway wanted to invest in downtown Raleigh. Anything's possible with office, but it also could be residential. It also could be hotel, Zariski said. I think Raleigh is primed for more hotel development in the future because of the expansion of the convention center. You guys are going to need more rooms, and this site's 3.5, 4 blocks away from the center. But it's also a nice residential. It's across the street from the PNC Tower. That's a really interesting feature site there. I see a lot of different potential uses, he said. Highwoods acquired the lot at 301 South Wilmington Street in 2017 for $1.88 million from Charlotte-based Beacon Properties. The lot is now assessed at $11.33 million. Foundry Commercial represented Highwoods in the transaction. Mike Willen, president of South Atlantic Sites, represented Parkway Corporation. And now we turn to Ben Tobin's page, Greater Triangle. Army vets open $8 million business park. Balcom Business Plaza sees rising interest in storage flex space. An $8 million business park focused on climate-controlled storage and flex space has gained traction in a growing county, highlighting the industrial sector's strength across the wider Triangle region. Jim Moore and Nick Smith, U.S. Army veterans who served in Iraq together, opened the Balcom Business Plaza at 31 Davila Drive in Harnett County in September to provide a one-stop shop for storage, campers, boats, Moore said. The land located off U.S. 401 has a Fuquay Marina address. To date, Moore said the group has developed 121,000 square feet with three more buildings in the works that will add an additional 80,000 to 100,000 square feet. We don't want to be another big box storage facility, Moore said. This is a community facility. This isn't a global facility. This is here to meet the local community needs. The Triangle's warehouse and industrial market has been the best performing real estate sector in the region for years now. Net absorption in the third quarter was nearly 1.69 million square feet, and the vacancy rate climbed to 7.9%, near the market's historical average. The rising rate is fueled by the surge in new construction. Moore and Smith, through their Balcom Business Plaza LLC, purchased the roughly 18 acres for the park in August 2023 for $1.1 million. Moore said that the facility has gained momentum quickly. All of the group's covered and enclosed storage space is already leased, he said. And beyond storage space, the group is providing flex space to small businesses. Maybe businesses were running out of their garage or running a mobile business, but now they actually have a hard facility to operate out of, he said. Moore, who operates Piney Grove Storage at 78 Piney Grove Rawls Road in Harnett County, said expansion plans may be on the horizon. Microsoft's plans for Megasite still a mystery. 1 year ago, Microsoft quietly purchased a 1,350-acre site in a rural Person County with a population of roughly 40,000. The tech giant headquartered in Redmond, Washington, is still silent on its plans for the land, which it acquired for close to $27 million, according to property records. Microsoft made headlines when it purchased the Person County Megapark, one of the few remaining megasites in North Carolina. There was no pomp and circumstance around the purchase, no big economic development announcement. There weren't even plans attached, though many in the business community have speculated that the company will use the land for a data center. The mystery looms just as large today as Person County leaders have said Microsoft has not communicated its plans. A Microsoft spokesperson said, "We don't have any definitive plans to share at this time." They continue to show interest, but have not... They continue to show interest, but have not shared a plan going forward, said Brandy Lynch, Economic Development Director for Person County. Kyle Perrier, chairman of the Person County Board of Commissioners, said Microsoft has not shared its plans. He is in communication with the company, he said. However, he declined to share specifics, citing a non-disclosure agreement. Pulte drops $20 million on more land in Clayton. An Atlanta home builder has dropped mega dollars to finish acquiring land for one of the largest housing projects in a fast-growing county. An LLC that lists Pulte Home Company and its carry address on the deed spent $20 million to acquire approximately 183 acres in Carolina Overlook North, a 750-home community in Clayton, according to Johnston County deed records. The home builder previously spent $20 million around this time last year for roughly 173 acres for the neighborhood, located off Brook Hill Drive and Covered Bridge Road. The price per acre is more than $110,000. Representatives of Pulte Group did not respond to requests seeking comment on the community, which will be under the Del Webb brand that specializes in adults aged 55 and over. This neighborhood is a continuation of Carolina Overlook, which is across Covered Bridge Road from the new Carolina Overlook North neighborhood. And finally, contractor in Franklin County buys $2 million property in Youngsville. A local contractor has acquired land off a key thoroughfare north of Raleigh for millions of dollars. Cade Incorporated, which shares an address with Cade General Contractors in Youngsville, bought 11.55 acres off Park Avenue, U.S. 1 alternate, recently for about $2 million, according to Franklin County deed records. The seller was a Dallas investor that has owned the property since the 1980s. The land on the northern edge of Youngsville is zoned MU2 for mixed-use district. According to records, a roughly 3,000-square-foot house built in 1956 sits on the land. The company operates out of 120 Weather Street in Youngsville, just a mile or so away from the purchased property. William Bland is listed as the president of Cade Incorporated. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page, Healthcare and Life Sciences. The first headline: startup looks to change cell therapy. Local firm looks to help unlock the potential of new platform. Cell therapy is one of the most promising areas of medicine, with scientists working to develop curative treatments addressing some of the world's most debilitating diseases. Yet, despite some regulatory approvals, many large companies are diverting resources away from cell therapies due to issues related to manufacturing, which contributes to the therapies often not being commercially viable. A new startup in Chapel Hill called iOrgan Bio wants to change this. The company has launched with $2 million in a goal to change how human cells are engineered and deployed across various applications in the life sciences industry. There is a clear understanding that the cost of manufacturing is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, limitation to the future of the space, said Daniel Dulaback, co-founder and CEO at iOrgan Bio. He views it as an industrial manufacturing problem that is tied to the nature of natural human cells, which are alive and constantly changing. Meanwhile, the existing approach to manufacturing cells for research or therapeutic uses is static, Dulaback said. iOrgan Bio seeks to solve this with its CellForge platform, combining, quote, AI-driven prediction with high-throughput experimental control to engineer cells and organoids across multiple high-value areas spanning drug discovery, manufacturing, and cell therapies, unquote. The firm says its technology enables the accurate and precise control of cells. We need to be able to make the exact cell that we have in our body, Dulaback said. It operates out of a shared lab space facility in Chapel Hill. About half of the 20 people involved with the company are in North Carolina. iOrgan Bio developed the CellForge platform to address five bottlenecks that affect accessibility and cost in cell therapies and disease modeling. It raised $2 million in a round led by First Star Ventures and with multiple other investors. Durham firm adds cash to bring AI to hospitals. After spending years building artificial intelligence tools at Duke University, Mark Sendak has experienced the challenges of scaling and integrating these solutions into other health systems across the U.S. Now, with his recently launched startup, Vega Health, Sendak is focused on helping more health systems access and implement tools that ultimately benefit patients. The thesis here is, if Kaiser Permanente does something that saves lives in California, why shouldn't every health system be able to use that? Sendak said. The Durham-based startup launched in October with $4 million in seed funding from Bessemer Venture Partners, a California-based venture capital firm. The funding came as a result of Sendak reconnecting with a former Duke classmate, Lance Koting Kay, who is a partner at Bessemer. I told him about the idea, and he was able to incubate the company within Bessemer and co-found the company with me, Sendak said. Sendak previously worked at the Duke Institute for Health Innovation, which was founded in 2013. And our last story on this page, Bayer-backed firm shutters after funding fails. A biotechnology company in Durham is winding down operations after it was unable to secure additional funding. OERTH, that's spelled O-E-R-T-H, launched in late 2019 as a joint venture between Bayer and Arvinas, a drug developer based in Connecticut. Bayer, through its investment arm Leaps by Bayer, supported the venture with a $55 million investment, while Arvinas contributed its protein degradation technology used to create a new class of drugs. By creating OERTH, the two companies aim to take Arvinas' drug technology and apply it to agriculture to create new crop protection solutions. After its launch, OERTH established its headquarters in downtown Durham, leasing 15,000 square feet at 112 South Duke Street in the Brightleaf District. The company, which had 45 employees in 2022, converted to a corporation in 2023. A spokesperson for Bayer said OERTH was working on a funding round that did not close. OERTH pursued external financing, which Leap supported, and had outside investors interested, but unfortunately the financing round did not ultimately come together, the spokesperson said. Heritage Global Partners, an auction and liquidation firm, has scheduled an auction at the company's Durham office in early December. And our last reporter page is written by Kate Tracy, Retail and Restaurants. Luxury wig shop coming to downtown Raleigh. Upscale wigs can appeal to those with a medical need. Downtown Raleigh is getting a new boutique and salon, J. Adore Namea, and that Namea is N-A-E-M-E-A, plans to open in early 2026 at 5 East Harget Street at the corner with Fayetteville Street, adjacent to the Raleigh Lace Museum and near the Raleigh Times. J. Adore founder Liz Amoa said she chose the 1,300-square-foot space for being in the heart of downtown. Empire Properties owns the Masonic Temple building where Amoa signed her lease. I don't want it anywhere else. It wouldn't make sense. I just want to be able to step out of my store and I'm in downtown, she said. The store will feature a luxury wig showroom. In addition to its reception and lounge area, J. Adore will have a private room for medical patients. The back of the store will have salon chairs and suites for customers who purchase a wig and then want shampoo or other hair treatments. Upstairs will be a dedicated bridal space featuring robes, bridal hair pieces, jewelry, and other bridal accessories. J. Adore stylists will also be offering wedding hairstyling to customers as well. Custom wig orders start at $800 and can cost up to $2,500. I'm just helping women to just feel so beautiful in their own skin, regardless of what the stereotype is when it comes to wigs, Amoa said. Part of J. Adore's business is also providing consultations and medical-grade wigs for women going through hair loss during cancer or other medical treatments. Many health insurance policies cover the cost of a cranial prosthesis, which J. Adore will help facilitate. Amoa plans to host events and classes at her store as well. Originally from Liberia, she first opened J. Adore in 2017. The business was completely online, and I started to realize there was so much money in this industry, she said. She amassed nearly 50,000 followers on Instagram and is looking to bring her customers an in-store option for various services. In Cary, Wegmans looks to sell Fenton land. Wegmans is loosening its grip on a retail parcel in one of Cary's hottest developments, making way for another company, potentially a grocer, to fill the site. The New York grocer is looking to sublease a parcel in the Fenton development. Wegmans backed out of its plans to open at Fenton in 2021 prior to the mixed-use destination's first phase opening in 2022. The grocer continued to pay rent for the land lease. A Wegmans spokesperson said the rise of online shopping has enabled us to serve customers in a much greater radius than we originally projected. As a result, we have decided not to move forward with this location, and instead, we are soliciting interest from other retailers to sublet the space. Drift Coffee to open second Raleigh location. The wave of coastal eateries coming to Raleigh continues. Drift Coffee and Kitchen of Wilmington has signed a lease at the Holston, a 20-story apartment building that's part of the Weld near Dix Park. The shop plans to open next summer. Drift co-founder Michael Powell, a former professional surfer, said he liked the proximity to Dix Park and the way developers SLI Capital and Mac Real Estate Group have prioritized outdoor space. We're thankful that they reached out to us and considered us, he said. Drift is the Weld's first retail lease. And finally, Ping Pong Bar readies Glenwood South debut. LM Restaurants is readying its newest venue in Raleigh, and it's a playful one. Smash Social Club will open this month in the former Carolina Ale House in Glenwood South. Not only will the 9,600-square-foot space have 10 tables for beer pong and table tennis, it will also have shuffleboard and electric darts. One table, called the King Table, features banquet seating for 8. For private events, guests can also reserve the paddle room, which features 3 ping pong tables, TVs, and a projection screen. And next in the Triangle Business Journal, we're going to read from the Project Life Project, Executive Health and Worker Wellness in the Triangle. This is written by Connie Gentry about this project. Project Life exists to shed light on executive health and worker wellness. The series includes regular articles on worker stress, work anxiety, depression, and addiction-related issues that creep into the workplace, and personality features from executives that are on the forefront of this fight for better health in our workplaces. The headline, Where Healing Meets Familiarity. Home health options can help seniors age in place, support families, and create meaningful careers for caregivers amid NC's growing demand. As North Carolina's aging population grows and families struggle to keep loved ones at home, in-home care is emerging as a flexible, compassionate solution that benefits clients, caregivers, and communities alike. It allows people to age in place, something that 75% of adults over the age of 50 desire to do, according to a recent report from AARP. It provides relief for family caregivers who are often buckling under the physical, emotional, and financial toll that being a primary caregiver takes on their lives. And home health creates rewarding work via a career path with flexible hours, personal connections, and a sense of purposeful accomplishment. That's what led Laura Farlow to sign on as a caregiver when Visiting Angels of Raleigh, with Visiting Angels of Raleigh in June 2023. A dozen years prior, she had worked as an assistant in a skilled nursing facility and simultaneously as a caregiver for Visiting Angels of Chapel Hill. Then she moved to Kansas City. Back in the Triangle, with 3 kids, including one in college and a mortgage, it was time to augment her husband's income. Flexibility. That's why I started doing what I do, so I could work around my kids, ages 9, 11, and 18. And I had a really good experience working for Visiting Angels of Chapel Hill, Farlow said. I can pick my clients and the hours that I work, including which days and which shifts. And my job is more than a job. It's a calling, helping people age where they want to age and going into their home, meeting all their family, so you get attached to them in a way you don't when you're working in a facility. I have 2 clients I've been with almost 2 years. That's the norm for caregivers at Visiting Angels of Raleigh, which has been operating for 25 years and serves all of Wake County, roughly 100 clients currently, with a roster of caregivers that fluctuates between 150 and 175 workers, some who've been with the agency 20 years, many for 10 years or more. Sierra Jones, human resources manager and office manager for the Raleigh franchise, came to the agency 4 years ago because she wanted a business role that was less corporate and more about making a difference for people. I do a little bit of everything, HR, billing, payroll, scheduling, and I help with intake when needed. Going into homes, I really see on a face-to-face level what clients need, Jones said. Especially here lately, like since COVID, I've noticed older people are self-isolating, especially this time of year when there's a lot of sickness going around. It's very common to hear that they're lonely. They need that companionship that's a part of every level of care we have. The need for companionship is consistent across most of their clientele, whether it's a homebound elderly person, a person with disabilities or a chronic illness, or someone under hospice care facing end-of-life challenges. The holidays typically bring seasonal spikes as well. I see a boom coming, probably in the next couple of months after children spend time with their aging parents and decide they can't care for themselves any longer, but I think we're also going to see a spike in the next year or so, Jones said. Demographic shifts agree. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 97% of adults over age 65 live in independent households, and 43% of those seniors live alone. In North Carolina, the state's Department of Health and Human Services reports 1 in 6 people were over age 65 in 2020. But by 2028, one in five will be 65 or older, and the segments with the fastest growth rate is the 85 and older cohort, with a projected 116% increase in headcount from 2020 to 2040. There's also increased demand for home care because of shortages within existing facilities. A lot of people who go to the hospital go into rehabs, and then the rehabs are turning them out very quickly because they don't have enough beds, said Rebecca Lewis, who has been with Visiting Angels of Raleigh for over 6 years and has worked remotely in an HR and management role since relocating to Winston-Salem. Sometimes a patient will be told they have 24 hours to put something in place for home care and move out of the rehab. Even if they call us after hours, we try to set up an informational meeting for the next morning. It is not unheard of for us to have a caregiver in place within 48 to 72 hours, but I've also seen us turn it around within 24 hours. In addition to serving clients with long-term ongoing needs, the agency also helps those who need temporary assistance, like someone recovering from an accident or surgery. And Lewis says there has been growing demand for caregivers to support transportation needs, driving clients to chemo treatments or to other medical appointments such as colonoscopies. It's surprising how many people fly into Raleigh for plastic surgery, stay at a hotel, and need someone to drive them and make sure that they're settled after plastic surgery. So we've been doing a lot of that kind of service too, she said. The agency also anticipates trends with caregivers and is always hiring, with a big push to sign on caregivers before the holidays and again before summer break and before school resumes in the fall. We anticipate schedule changes and do hiring pushes accordingly, Lewis said. For employees who excel and who want to expand their responsibilities and earnings potential, Visiting Angels of Raleigh offers scholarships to further their education and obtain CNA certification. Farlow is one of the recipients of the agency's CNA scholarship. Because of her prior experience working in healthcare, Farlow had started in an in-home caregiver position with a higher pay rate than a companion position, but the CNA certification also increases her wage. As an in-home caregiver, you basically do most of what a CNA does, which is what I did for 2 years until my schedule allowed me to take on the CNN scholarship this summer, said Farlow, who is also completing a bachelor's degree in psychology. She completed the fast-track CNA program at Shades of Purple in North Raleigh. Farlow typically works 30 to 40 hours a week, including a lot of weekend work, when she may schedule as many as 24 hours and overnight stays. Caregiver shifts are a minimum of 4 hours, but can be up to 12 hours. Client fees start at $36 an hour for companionship, and the services are private pay. And we'll have to go ahead and make that our last article as we're running out of time for today's episode. But today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And as we run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal, please be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed listening. Again, I'm Derek Frost, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.